and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
$1 billion in student funding was recently signed into law.
BNA welcomes a new airline.
And is Metro Nashville's relationship with the Chamber of Commerce on the rocks?
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily. Stuart, I must admit that with the temperatures that are coming in, normally I'm a steaming hot cup of coffee guy.
Yeah, you look at like 161 Fahrenheit.
I will drink hot coffee at just about any temperature, and it doesn't bother me. But this year, it feels like the heat is coming in a little bit early.
It's coming in hot.
And
that was pun intended.
it's making me want something cold. And I know that is your go-to, even in the cold. Uh-huh. You will default to some cold brew. It's really making me want something from our amazing sponsor, Blessed Day Coffee. And this is their cold brew to go. No hassle necessary to make this. This is literally cold brew delivered at your door. I think that this is one of the cool things, especially coming out of the pandemic, as people are hosting a lot of things. Not going to lie, you could just totally do this for yourself and have this at home so you can drink cold brew whenever. But if you're hosting and you want some delicious cold brew coffee at your church or at your home or at your office, something like that, you just want to do something nice, this is one of the only things that I've seen that offers this, and it's pretty incredible. You can get these 5-gallon batches for large parties, which makes 50 plus cold brew drinks. If you add ice to them, and I mean, there's just so many options where you can have these pre-made in these I don't even know what kind of container this is, but.
I have no idea. I don't know if it comes in that container or if it comes in a bag.
Dispensing container that's ready to go. You don't even have to make cold brew from concentrate. This is ready to go cold brew for these hot days that are coming up. So if you want to kind of switch it up and you don't want to do traditional hot coffee for your hospitality, you want to do some cold brew, which is cold brew's cool now. And it's in the mainstream.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Okay, you got me there.
We're just throwing out the puns today.
But if you want to save a little bit of money with that, because Blessed Day is our amazing sponsor, you get 20% off by using the code XPLR20 at checkout. And you can visit them at blesseddaycoffee.com and look at all of the amazing options for what they have there and get you, as the temperatures are rising, some cold brew to go.
So back in, I believe this was January, maybe February, Governor Bill Lee gave his budget address, and we've covered this on the podcast. You can find it on our YouTube channel, explore.nash, or on NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. But one of the biggest things he proposed during that budget proposal is a $1 billion into Tennessee's public education system. And this has been signed into law about 2 weeks ago.
So the Tennessee Investment, this is coming from WKRN, the Tennessee Investment in Student Achievement, or TISA, TISA bill.
That's a tongue twister.
Ultimately passed with bipartisan support during the recent legislative session. It changes the way Tennessee funds their public education for the first time in 30 years. So like Stuart said, we covered a little bit of this, but here's another highlight of this. Governor Lee calls it a more transparent formula that provides a base fund of $6,860 per student plus percentage increases for a child's individual needs.
So these include economic disadvantaged students. So there's a little bit, there's the base times 25%. There's like a math formula there. students living in areas of concentrated poverty, base times 5%, and then there's two other ones.
So students in sparsely populated communities and students in small districts, you have your base amount, that's 6,800 plus change, times 25%. And then students with unique learning needs, you have a base times a sliding scale of 15 to 150%, 50% based off of that need. Governor Lee says the student-focused bill recognizes that every school district has different needs and will be funded accordingly. So this, to me, makes a lot of sense because it's not just funding, throwing money into a school and hoping that it gets dispersed correctly to the students who need it the most, and not really dispersed to a school. And if there are students who have the needs over here, but because it's dispersed throughout the entire school, the student who needs it the most doesn't necessarily get that correct funding to address the needs that student will have. This is a more student-focused approach with the dollar amounts to make sure that specific support will go with that specific student.
Governor Bill Lee said, so actually from this day forward, when we put dollars into education, I think we're going to see exactly where they go and how they're spent.
State Education Commissioner Penny Schwinn faced tough criticism on both sides of the aisle while advocating for the TESA bill. Many questions how the plan would work and how it would be funded in the future. But they said they feel really good about how the legislation was passed. We feel good about the input, and we're strong and the strong input that they got from the General Assembly and the legislative leadership. TESA does not go into effect until the 2023-2024 school year, but Schwinn says schools should start receiving funding estimates by early next year.
Imagine being the guy that has to collect all of that like data and say,
hopefully it's not just like one guy.
No, it's probably like a team of like 100 people, but still, like going to all those schools and you have all these numbers and you're like, okay, so this school is going to get X, this school is getting X, even though they're in the same county. Have fun with that. I'm just glad I'm not doing that job.
Very true. Okay, so this is also coming from WKRN. There's a new option for Nashville Flyers and for another area of Flyers to come straight from Music City to Southern Connecticut. Avelo Airlines nonstop service will take Nashvillians directly from Nashville to the coastal city of New Haven, Connecticut. Have you ever been out that way, Stuart?
I've been to New Haven probably 10 times.
Okay. What is there to do in New Haven, Connecticut?
I have no idea. I think I've literally have driven through.
Okay, there you go. Well, a one-way ticket to the Tweed New Haven Airport from Nashville International Airport starts out at $49. So instead of going out and getting you a nice fancy meal at Outback Steakhouse, you can go to the Tweed New Haven Airport for $49.
So flights began on May 6th, and the new nonstop routes will operate Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays.
There you go.
Nice.
So there you go. To New Haven we go. Actually, instead of Outback, let's talk about some actual local restaurants that we've been to recently. I went to Cafe Intermezzo recently.
Nice.
For their delicious dessert options. I was excited. When I go there for dessert, my typical spread is usually one of their cheesecakes or torts and their Turkish coffee. Now, I was very hesitant on getting their Turkish coffee because the last time it wasn't the same as the first time that I had it there.
Interesting.
And the first time I had it there was exquisite. But it was absolutely amazing. So hats off to Cafe Intermezzo because that is not an easy, it was not an easy coffee to make. Because I've seen them make it. I've seen the founder of Cafe Intermezzo make it. It is not easy to make, but the flavor was absolutely incredible. And another hats off to them because the random waitress that we got, we asked if she could give us a tour of the desserts, and she did amazing.
Mm-hmm. So you may be wondering what a tour of desserts means. Basically, she's going to have all of the desserts in that little box, and she's going to walk through all the flavors.
15 to 20 different cheesecakes and torts in there. If anybody has not been to Cafe Intermezzo, best dessert place in town, their tiramisu is flown in from Milan, and it's absolutely incredible. So I got the cheesecake tort.
Nice.
Carrot cake tort.
That still sounds...
Or carrot tort.
Both sounds great.
Don't know exactly what the name of it was, but it was so good. I savored it twice. I had a little bit of it there, took it home, had a little bit of it the next day. Still just as good as it was the day before. Turkish coffee was amazing. So I had a really good experience at Cafe Intermezzo.
So I went to a relatively new restaurant in Franklin. I think it's been open for maybe about a year, and this is $17.99. We had a three-course meal.
We walked around it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or walked by it last time we were in Franklin.
Yeah, I think we walked in and used the restroom.
Yeah,
yeah, the so hotel. It's right there. Yeah. But it's an absolutely great restaurant. We had a three-course meal, and the first meal was this, like, beet goat salad. It was really, really delicious.
Interesting.
The second meal was, or the main entree, was a, like, roasted chicken with, like, this asparagus-type thing. I had no idea, like, what the vegetable actually was. And then there's like potatoes in the bottom. That was really good. And then the third one was like a chocolate mousse, but with a warm chocolate chip cookie on top.
Oh,
so the cookie was really warm, but then you had like a spoonful of like that chocolate mousse. Oh, it was fantastic.
That sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was a really good restaurant experience.
There you go. If you've eaten anywhere locally, you want to share your experience, let us know in the comments, or you can go to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com/connect. And that's where you can get on our Discord and tell us about some of the places that you've been. If you've had a good, bad experience, let us know. NashvilleDailyPodcast.com/connect. All right, let's head over to Explorers Nashville Tip of the Day.
For Explorers Nashville Tip of the Day, you thought we were done talking about food, but we are not. And one of the best places that you should check out today is an Irish restaurant called the Lost Patty. And basically, they serve incredible Irish food. And on Fridays and Saturdays, they have live Irish music.
The Irish places in Nashville are absolutely... I've never had a bad meal at McNamara's or Lost Patty. And so I would highly recommend going to these places. They've not disappointed yet. It is at Lost Patty. If you get there, the later and later you go, the louder and louder it's going to get. The energy in the place can get crazy big, especially if you come in on maybe a soccer match night.
Yeah. It's probably insane.
Yeah. So, but plenty of amazing options at any of those restaurants. I try to get something. That's one of the places I do try to get something different every time.
Yeah.
So that I can really experience the all the flavors of Irish food. But absolutely love it.
The Guinness is great. The fish and chips are great. And then the bangers and mash, always great. So if you're looking for a great Irish experience, you need to check those out.
There you go. That is Explorers Nashville Tip of the Day.
Today's episode of Nashville Daily is in part brought to you by Screen Threads. If you're looking for Nashville-themed merchandise, look no further. Our listeners can use the code Nashville Daily get 10% off their next online order or in-person visit. You can find them inside of Marathon Village or at thescreenthreads.com.
There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to get all of these amazing businesses that Nashville has to do business in Nashville, to establish their headquarters in Nashville, to call Nashville home. A lot of that is done by the Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce, which is not a division of the Nashville government. This is a private entity. I don't remember if this is necessarily a nonprofit organization or not.
Let me look that up.
But it is not a metro Nashville government entity, but it's their recruiting arm. There's two, really, Visit Music City, which is part of Nashville, and the Chamber are big recruiting arms for Metro Nashville and getting amazing companies and amazing events here. And we may be seeing a very strained relationship now between Metro Nashville and the Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce. And the Nashville Business Journal is reporting of this, and the headline even really alludes to this. The Chamber's recruiting contract with Metro once seemed automatic. This year, it's, quote, weird. So the article starts off by saying for 31 years in a row, Metro has hired the Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce to spearhead the work of recruiting companies to Nashville and enticing businesses already here to double down on their investments. Today, the relationship between the chamber and the mayor's office has sunk to a, quote, all-time low in the history of Metro. In the assessment of at-large councilman Bob Mendez, that chill casts rare doubt on what once seemed like a given, the chamber and the city entering into another annual six-figure contract.
So Mayor John Cooper unveiled his proposed budget on April 29th. So we talked about that last week. We talked about the budget of Mayor Cooper and the potential budget from the finance director for the city of Nashville. And tonight is May 17th. The city council is going to be doing readings of these budgets. So if you want to be bored to tears, you could watch that on their YouTube channel.
It's pretty true. So the budget that Cooper talked about, it's filled with priorities carrying price tags far heftier than the chamber's current $175,000 contract. But that one item is on the radar of many of the city's business leaders. The chamber is seeking the contract for Metro's upcoming fiscal year at the same amount. The contract equals 0.007% of Metro's current $2.6 billion budget and 0.7% of the $25 million the chamber raised for Partnership 2030, its five-year regional recruiting and growth strategy. The Business Journal continues to say it's really not about the dollars, though. The significance is more about what the contracts have demonstrated to executives and the site selection advisors who guide multi-state relocation searches that the city and the chamber are aligned to share a vision for growth. That cooperation had been a Nashville hallmark and one of many ingredients of the region's surging growth and rising profile. Cooper's economic development chief has been emphatic that he needs more resources while expressing a desire to leave recruiting to the chamber and focus on other priorities. And which is really funny because this continues to emphasize what we had talked about when we unveiled Cooper's budget and talked about that mixed messages coming out of the mayor's office. I think that's a consistent theme.
Yeah. So there's a quote. You're probably going to have to say this guy's last name. Angelos.
Angelo. That's right. His name.
So there's a quote, and he owns a company called Angelo Economics. It's a 26-year-old firm. We've seen in many, many places where the city and chamber are not on the same page. When the relationship becomes dysfunctional, economic development suffers.
Yeah, that is very true. So this the firm that Angelo has does site selection and crafts economic development strategies for public sector clients. He continues to say, you're too successful of a city to have a relationship turn south. That relationship needs to be put back on track and grow.
That's true.
Otherwise, everyone loses.
That's true.
So the chamber sparked controversy at Metro Council's April 5th meeting over its support of proposed state legislation. This is where the disagreement begins between the two entities. Metro Council's April 5th meeting over its support of proposed state legislation allowing county mayors to take over school boards and appoint a slate of new members if a district has too many underperforming schools. You may think, why would that spark any controversy between the chamber and Metro? Council members voted 23-1 with 8 abstentions to approve a resolution condemning the Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce's efforts to subvert democracy and eliminate the people's voice. So,
interesting.
Yeah, interesting things going on here. The rebuke sufficed in underlying friction. So we're seeing a friction between the council and the area chamber of commerce. So this is a quote from Bob Mendez. He says, my sense is that the relationship between the chamber and the mayor's office is likely at a 50-year low in the history of Metro, Mendez said in the meeting. We do, whether we like it or not, rely heavily on the chamber by contract for economic development stuff. So we
stuff. Yeah, we're not going to find that.
So we've got a weird situation where the mayor really doesn't have an obvious positive relationship with the chamber at all. And the chamber is now acting unilaterally on legislation, but they're still, uh, but still their economic development arm of the city. If a chamber doesn't have a partner in the mayor's office, then the chamber is going to do what the chamber thinks is best. So what we're seeing is the strain between what the chamber thinks is best and what the city council thinks is best on different issues, and they're coming to a clash. And what they're saying is they're almost kind of imploding on themselves if they're not in alignment. Then really that relationship's going to implode.
And you have to remember the chamber, they're the ones who did a lot of the legwork to bring Amazon and Oracle here. Yes, the state and city gave a certain amount of tax relief for Amazon to come, but the chamber is the one who really did the groundwork for that to happen. And it's the same thing with Oracle. They did the groundwork with Oracle coming to the city, and then the state gave them a huge incentive. And I can't remember if the city of Nashville gave Oracle an incentive at all. I think they gave them that $175 million tax break for the redevelopment of the roads for Oracle. But the chamber has been very significant in the growth of Nashville.
And so this is an interesting perspective. This is coming from Councilman Zach Young, whose district includes Goodlettsville. So he voted for this resolution. But he said in a quote during the meeting, he said, "We should remember this when this summer we're working on a budget and we want to allocate six figures or more to an organization that was spending money to actively lobby against our own interest and the voters of Davidson County." That was from Zach Young. He says, "For Pete's sake, y'all, this is a no-brainer." So it is interesting. Is essentially an arm of Metro Council. They're paying six figures to is lobbying against the interests of the council people, the councilmen, the council members. So it is a very, very interesting situation that we have going on.
Yeah. So there's a few other quotes from a few other council members, but we have to look at this part where in the Business Journal says Cooper ran for office in 2019 touting that he would break from Metro's traditional deal making and how it tackled economic development. And if I remember correctly, there's been two different people that Cooper has brought in into his administration to help with economic development. And one was a recently new hire within like the last 7 or 8 months, if I believe correctly. And so we're not seeing these huge announcements like Amazon. We had Oracle in this last year announced that they're coming here for 8,500 jobs, but we're not seeing other big corporations in the last year besides Oracle really announce stuff. It's all these small regional companies of 200 or 300 employees.
Yes. So Councilman Freddie O'Connell, who's has announced his bid for running for mayor, his district, he's a councilman. His district includes downtown and parts of Midtown and Music Row. So the tension over the school board potential proposal portends a more realistic than ever before effort among council members to terminate a contract. Now, when this was written, we didn't have the mayor's proposal, which actually does include the funding of that $175,000 contract for changers. So they do want to renew it. Now, the interesting thing is that's coming from the mayor. The council members may have their own agenda take that out, which will be very, very interesting to then have that strain between the council members and the chamber, who's all trying to make Nashville better. But there's that strained relationship between that. This is interesting. The Business Journal writes, "If Cooper's budget proposal omits chamber funding, O'Connell would be shocked if anybody in the council tried to restore it." So now that it's in there, who knows if they will take it away.
So you may be wondering what the contract's aim is. So the contract's aim is to provide 2,000 new jobs for Davidson County. The chamber's current contract names core goals such as working on at least 50 relocations or expansion and a minimum of 2,000 new jobs announced within Davidson County, and meeting with the 150 existing businesses to help them spur job creation and minimize obstacles to that growth.
On behalf of Metro, the chamber also responds to the initiative, the intent of request for information that happened early in a company's site search, as well as coordinating and executing follow-up site visits and taking trips to visit prospective recruits and attend economic development industry conferences. So I'm very interested. I'm scrolling through the rest of this article and I'm trying to see if there's any, there's really no quote from the chamber here, which is kind of very interesting. But I'm sure we will hear more about this as Metro Council starts to talk about items in the budget. I would bet that that is going to be brought up in their meeting they're having to see if they are going to renew that. Now, the chamber is not going to be out of money if that this doesn't happen. Like it said, it has $25 million in the budget for their project, which is aiming towards 2030, the economic development of Nashville up and towards 2030. But what you don't want to have is this strained relationship between the people who are recruiting for Nashville and the city leaders of Nashville.
Yeah, because all these companies are going to move out to Wilson County, and they're going to be like, yeah, Wilson County seems like a better place to be.
You're not wrong.
Or Rutherford County, yeah, Sumner County.
You're not wrong. It's Chamber might think twice about where to put a company and show them their new site selections.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we have a partnership with the Wilson County Chamber as well.
Yeah, so Nashville government leaders, they just need to lock that down and get that relationship back on track. It is very interesting, though. A lot of things to consider. Let us know what you think down in the comments. See you tomorrow. For listening to Nashville Daily.
To learn more about today's episode, visit NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. And to stay connected, head to our Discord and you can find the link at NashvilleDailyPodcast.com/connect. Nashville Daily is now offering tours. If you'd like to take a tour of downtown Nashville, head to the link in the show notes or find out more details at NashvilleDailyPodcast.com.
Nashville Daily Podcast is an Explore.Nash production. Copyright 2022.